Don't spend another winter with your home colder than it should be. Hi, I'm Roy Spencer with PermaSeal. We measure the amount of heat loss and recommend solutions to keep it comfortable. Call PermaSeal for your free estimate, 800-421-SEAL, or visit permaseal.net.
WGN, Dave Player has a night off. It's Jones and Mike in for Dave. Roger, I have a personal question for you.
Okay.
You seem to be an open guy. But look, I know
well,
where Jones...
when I go home, my wife's going to kill me, but...
Really?
Well, yeah. She's a very private person.
Do you want to sleep at Jones's place tonight?
Let the storm pass? I may have to.
He's just on the way.
You're welcome.
I may just stay here. I've got to be back at 6 o'clock tonight anyway, so...
Yeah, you and Jones could hang out. You guys could go down the Mag Mile and shop together.
Yeah, let's do it.
And let the storm pass at home.
Yeah, sure.
Go to the food court at Water Tower Place and just have ourselves a good time.
That's right.
Cool.
Raj, you feel free to not answer this question if it's too personal, I recognize that it's usually too personal of a question to ask people in this country. But since you brought up the name Donald Trump, I had to ask.
How can I not bring it up? He's in the news every
minute. I have to know. How do I put this?
It's very easy to put it. Just put
can
it.
I?
Who are you voting for?
Can I see the size of your hands? Will you show me hands, Badish?
You know, the video camera adds 10 pounds onto the.
Look at the size of those mitts.
Yeah, I got mitts. Look at that. I even got I got a bent.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
The focus this week has been on the size of people's hands. And I have the hands of a child.
What?
So I've been a very... This has been a tough week for me.
Let me see. Hold them up. I can't see them.
Look at these things. Like a violinist would be happy to have these hands.
Well, actually, you look like a mile away, so I can't really tell.
They haven't done an honest day's work in their life. Do hands have lives?
Yeah, they do.
These hands... Look at now I'm holding my hands up.
How many stories would they
tell? People think we're talking about Black Lives Matter right now in here in the Showcase Studios. But no, I'm talking about Donald Trump and little Marco. And they're back and forth about your hand size.
I'm sorry, your hands look huge.
They look huge. Listen, I can tell you there is no problem.
Yeah.
I have four kids. I really don't care about the size of my hands anymore.
Yeah.
But no, I really do need to know, Badish. Who are you voting for?
I'm voting for the candidate who best represents my points of view about how I feel the country should progress.
That candidate been revealed to you from on high yet?
Well, I have taken one of those Facebook online polls.
What do you like, and this is who you should vote for?
Well, you know, they covered all the different topics and how much do you not or do you agree with this statement and that statement, et cetera, et cetera.
Uh-huh.
And so it's kind of been revealed to me, and I actually have similar views. Not that that poll is anything to go by, but it tells me I have similar views to four of the presidential candidates.
So four of them? Yep. Are there four left?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, maybe between two parties.
Well, no, there's actually six left total.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So you really could go any way with 60% of the candidates.
Yeah.
All right.
I reach, and those four, I match in the 80 percentile.
Now, you don't have one name yet you're going
and
for.
It's fine. You don't have to answer that question.
No,
it's like we're in court.
Wait. I didn't finish asking the question.
Yeah. Roger's my client. You don't have to answer him.
I plead
so
the fifth.
do you have that one name, or are you holding?
You mean, have I already made up my mind?
Yes.
Not quite.
Is it a man or a woman who's leading the charge?
Animal or vegetable?
Yeah.
See, it's so... Now, before the show started... When we said, let's ask Roger who he's voting for. I was like, and he will not tell us.
Because you will more readily talk about the size of your hands
Huge.
Who you're voting for. They're huge. It's cool. There is something incredibly private about who you're going to vote for.
Well, and voting is a private affair. I mean, seriously, if they made it public, wouldn't we all get in? Well, the caucuses are kind of like that. But, you know, they still do it by a paper ballot, you still write down without putting your name down.
Uh-huh.
You know, you don't have the person counting the votes at a caucus going, hey, Raj, you forgot to cross the T on Trump or something like that, you know?
That was a tell, Jones.
No,
that was
yeah,
a tell.
It was.
He said Trump.
We've got the vote. We
either cross the T or
the
dot
vote.
The I.
There you go.
Rubio. I could have done. You forgot the dot the I and Rubio.
Yeah.
You know
what? Yeah. No. I pegged him as a little Marco guy.
Nah. I ain't.
Well, so there's
I'm
another
huge.
Tell. He said
I'm
no
huge.
To Marco.
Yeah.
When
we're going
to. No,
Trump?
I said
whittle
no to
down.
The little.
Okay. I actually. Yeah. There was a part of me. There was a part of me, Roger, that I thought if we ask him the question, I can see. As we ask him the question, he kind of goes to shift away from it and then slips away his little Dennis Kucinich bobblehead under his desk because
right.
he knows he's going to write him in.
This was a gift.
He's
Dennis
writing
Kucinich.
It in.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
He's still holding on.
Yes, UFOs.
Dennis the Menace can do it.
Now, you know, I did spend many years in government service.
Oh, you did?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so
okay.
I worked for both Jane Byrne and Harold Washington over at City Hall.
Oh,
all right.
So I'm coming out with the, as you heard, my political statement that I am, still, considering
That's right.
all the possibilities.
Okay.
And
yeah.
that come election day, primary election day here in Illinois, March 15th. That I will go and perform my civic duty.
Okay, it's a civic duty.
Civic duty
okay.
and responsibility.
Yes.
And because I want the ability that should the person that I eventually end up supporting not be elected, I then have the right, and I think responsibility, to complain very loudly and profusely.
You're one of them.
You
yeah.
have
yeah.
that right.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Just living here, paying taxes, you can complain about whatever you want.
Absolutely. Now, Roger, so you worked with Harold Washington. Did you ever meet Harold Washington?
Well, several times.
Okay.
Yeah.
Have you ever made it down to the DeSable Museum and visited?
No, have not been to the museum. No.
You have not visited his mechanical...
Animatronic, we're going to go with. The animatronic Harold Washington. You
no,
should go down there.
No.
It'd be like old home day for you two. You could hang out and
it
talk.
It is the creepiest thing. It is the creepiest
really?
Experience that you
it's
can
like
have
like he never
in
left
Chicago.
Us.
No.
Wow.
You. So I went... A couple years back, I went down to the DeSable Museum, and I walked into this room where they have the animatronic Harold Washington. Now, you come across some sensor, and it will trip the Harold Washington. He's sitting at a desk, and he's turned away. And then all of a sudden, once you get into the room far enough, now keep in mind, I'm the only one in the room. All of a sudden, the head turns over.
Oh,
well, hello there.
You can hear the electronics?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Oh, my
Because it's
goodness.
Like it's back at
well,
that
you
like,
describe
showbiz
it.
Pizza.
You describe
Chuck
it, Jones. And then, Roger, tell us, is this true to form? Is this how it really was? Go, Jones.
So when you walked into a room.
No, he
would
didn't
wake
make
up.
That
well,
sound.
Hello,
no.
Roger.
I no. wasn't playing with my
Dennis. And then the two eyes would blink at the same time in exaggerated fashion. And then would he start complaining about Edward Doliak? Because the animatronic Harold Washington complains a lot about Edward Doliak.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah,
I was
trying to get things done, but the city council wars and Edward Doliak stood in my way.
It is the best. It's the best and the worst and the creepiest experience that you can have in Chicago. Mm. Go down to the DeSable Museum, wait till the room empties out, and walk in
alone.
To the alone into the animatronic Harold Washington room
right.
and not crap your pants. That is a challenge and a half.
Yeah.
It's so weird. It is so weird.
Yeah.
Yes,
I mean, really,
I'm telling
Wake
you.
Night, Wake Night and Baddish, you have to see this. I've seen, there's a video of this on YouTube.
Oh, it's
so
you so
can kind of, and now you should see that.
Should I watch it first to prepare?
Yeah.
No, I think both you and
you
Bennett should go
it.
Together and like lock arms.
Yeah, I'm not imagining like a haunted house setup where there's like black and white cameras from the corners and like Roger and I are arm in arm interlocking
right.
each other.
Baddish is going to be, he's going to be like, this is exactly how it was back in 84.
Right, yeah.
I was a wide-eyed intern.
Yeah.
Michael Sneed had just yelled at me in the hallway.
Oh, God.
Are you and Sneed buddies?
No?
All right.
No. It was a long time ago.
You?
I first went to work for, I'd worked at another radio station in town for a couple of years.
How
and
dare you.
Had gotten, I guess I had caught the eye of Mayor Byrne because I used to call her up in the mornings from the station when I get in early and find out what's going on for the day or whatever. And her husband every so often would say, she'll call you back. She's on the treadmill now or something like that. And then after there were cutbacks at the radio station, I was hired at City Hall, worked in streets and sanitation for a little while, and then went down to the mayor's press office and worked down there. And I was the only press aide working for Jane Byrd who was kept over for the Washington administration.
Impressive.
Yeah.
There were
yeah.
secretaries that worked there that were kept over, but I was the only press aide that was
way to
kept.
Parlay your radio resume into a real job, Roger.
Yeah, a real job.
That was an upgrade. Yeah. Going from radio into City yeah. Hall, into the very seat of power.
Yeah.
Wow.
It was
yeah.
fun. It was fun. We had good times.
So voting is a civic duty in your estimation.
And I believe it
you
is.
You need
sure.
to be able to do it so that you can then complain about the administration that takes office, the regime, as you will.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Not in mine, it ain't.
Yeah, there is a differing opinion here. Dave Player has the night off. It's Jones and Mike, 720 WGN. 720 WGN. It's Jones and Mike in for Dave Player, 312-981-7200. Badish has left the building. We asked Roger who he's voting for.
And he did.
Roger literally has said, to hell with these two.
Right.
I've never been so insulted.
Right. I'm out of here.
Yeah. So he may be coming down here to the Showcase Studios, the Allstate Showcase Studios, to
quickly bludgeon us and then just run
yeah.
out the door.
Yes.
Don't worry. I locked the door. It's all good.
Thank you. I appreciate that. We asked Roger who he's voting for. Roger gave a very considered response and said, it's none of your business, which is really, it's the American way.
You do not let answer.
You do not let people know, Jones, who you're voting for. And we've even thought that's what an intelligent person, you know, if you want to sound intelligent, that's what you say. You know what I haven't, and I'm not saying that that's what Roger was doing.
No,
I'm saying that all Americans say it's none of your business in a polite way like he did.
I know.
And
it
then,
sounds intelligent, considered.
And then they'll say, well, I haven't. I'm still considering some of the issues because you want to sound measured, considered, considerate, intelligent.
Well, I think that a lot of it is driven by fear. I mean, people don't want to start up the storm of a conversation. That's the last thing you want to be doing.
Yeah, the old religion and politics
important.
Thing
yeah.
you don't talk about.
Right. I mean, I think that's the biggest driver of it.
So who are you voting for, Ben?
Yeah, right on. What's your religion?
Well, I'm
let me see your hands.
One of the, you know, right here. We're good.
They're giant.
No, actually, I have very small hands for my size. anyway, I'm proud
yeah,
of.
That
I'm
was
very
a tell.
Open, unlike,
oh, man.
Unlike Trump. But. I mean, I'm pretty far in the middle when it comes to...
Far in the middle.
Yeah, that's right. That's right,
well,
man.
Your,
I like
I'm
it.
I'm your quintessential
Wake
millennial.
Night. Yeah, you are.
Okay.
I mean,
okay.
I'm just...
Okay, so let me ask you. Definitely in the millennial generation, a generation that we perceive to be very, as you said, Jones, they like consensus. They like to be agreeable. Mm-hmm. Will avoid at all costs many times... the perception of being disagreeable, talking about politics and who you're voting for, definitely a millennial is not getting into that, right?
No.
They will not get into that.
No, they won't.
Okay.
So.
Interesting.
But do you, okay, I'll just say this. Do you know who you're voting for?
Me, no, not yet. I'm still,
okay.
I still have some solid research.
Now, and I will say this. At your age, that's an answer that I find acceptable because you're still kind of, this is what, your second round of voting in the presidential election?
Yes, my
so
second round.
So you're still going through it, working your way.
Right, finding my rhythm when it comes to this
yeah,
like, time
it's
in my
not
life.
Easy. Now, you know, for me, like me personally, I think once you get past that 25-year-old, 30-year-old marker, I think you know. I think you know, even if you don't want to say it. I think you know.
The first person
I voted for was Ross Perot.
Yeah, and you're gonna make mistakes, Wake Knight.
I'm
Jones
open and
is
ready.
Is gonna he's leading you through the gloaming here. You're going to make mistakes, and then years later, you'll be able to laugh about it.
then I can blame it on these small hands.
That's right. That's right. Jones was enamored with Admiral Stockdale's performance in the vice presidential debate, and he went, "This is a man who I want to be one malady away from leading the free world."
Yes.
You really voted for Stockdale, frankly.
No, yeah, I did. I absolutely did. I absolutely did.
So why is it a media-driven thing, this? And it blew my mind, and maybe I misheard it, that there have been 11 Republican debates? 11? Is that possible?
It does seem like a little bit much. It is much, but there's been so many.
And is it just like a media story? Like, as well, we got to fill the 24-hour news cycle? Or are people really super fired up about presidential politics 8 months away from an election?
Here's the thing. People get really fired up about national politics and the presidential election. And in my personal take, I'm a passionate non-voter. I will be passionately not participating. Now on the local level?
And mocking the likes of Roger Badish.
No, I just do my own thing.
And Roger said you have to vote in order to complain. But you will still complain.
No, I complain anyway.
You'll still complain.
I complain unashamedly.
Yeah, but you didn't do anything to change the situation or try to change the situation in order so you didn't have to complain.
Well, when was the last time that anyone voted in a national election and then all of a sudden something changed for them? That wasn't like already in the works. That wasn't already going. Like, when was the last time a president?
Every time we change parties, things change. I'm just a little bit older than you are.
Or do they?
Just a little bit. Yeah, they do. I think so.
Mm.
I don't think
especially.
Especially
the economy.
But that has nothing to do with the president.
Yes, it does.
I think the president gets too much credit
and
too much blame. Too much credit during the good times and too much blame during the bad times.
And rightly so.
Look, this country is run by massive corporations.
True.
And they take it where they want to. Now, they may take it in directions that they didn't realize it was going to go and have to recalibrate, but they ain't listening to no president. That is a shell game.
They're listening to a lot of government agencies who keep their fingers on the pulse of the economy, both the local and worldwide. And a lot of that pulse, the rate at which it beats, is pushed by the political and economic agendas of the people in office.
Hmm. Okay, but I don't think that trickles down to the people who are actually casting votes.
I think the power brokers
that are in this country, they have a system set up that makes us believe that we're a part of something, that we're sitting there and that we're dinging the bell and that we're getting our little food pellet and we think that we're a part of this process. But there is a greater machine that's going on. And if you were one of these people that's running a giant corporate machine, why would you want to leave it to the people? You want to have it. You want to have the power centralized among your other peers, those other corporate entities.
That's right.
I don't see
of plans are always ruined by the littlest people.
Even for example, gay marriage. I don't think Obama had anything to do with gay marriage. That was a tenor in this country that changed over time. Then when it was right for it to flip and then everyone was comfortable, or the majority was comfortable with allowing homosexuals to marry, then Barack raced down the hall, went into his wallet, pulled out $50 and went to the janitor like, "Carl, go down to the Ace Hardware, get some multicolored bulbs and splash them up on the abode."
And the White House looked great that day.
It looked fabulous.
Really,
that day.
They were ready for that.
But I don't, after 24 years of being eligible to vote, I don't want to sit there and cast a vote in a national election when I think there's a larger machine involved that's just laughing at me going, "Oh, there's your little food pellet."
You literally think it's a waste of time.
The larger machine, in my opinion, I know you're getting ready for a break, but the larger machine, in my opinion, is going to operate the way it's going to operate no matter who is running the country. And when I say running, I'm talking president and legislature. But those things that affect the little guy, as you said, I truly, honestly believe that what Congress does, what the president does, what they do together and separately, does affect our daily lives. We may not realize it openly, but it does affect our daily lives. And I think that is the core of the democracy. And I think that is what we as American citizens have to buy into if we're to keep it as a democracy.
Okay, Roger, I have a question for you.
Okay.
What is stronger, Roger Badish's hands or a superdelegate?
Mm.
That's a deep question.
That is a deep one. In fact, I was gonna reference Roger's hands once more because his hands are bigger than yours, Jones. Roger Badish wins this debate.
Oh, come on, dude.
It's the size of the hands that matter. Roger wins.
Dude, you are.
Roger wins.
You are total. It's all
I'll
out
answer
of our
his
hands,
question.
Guy.
It's my vote that counts more in the superdelegate.
That's right. That's right. Dave Plyer's off. It's Jones and Mike in. 720 WGN. Are you fired up about politics, and should you be? Is it a media-driven thing, or is it real? We'll talk about that next. WGN. Dave Plyer is out tonight. This is Jones and Mike. Ordinarily, you can get us on WGNplus.com. You can get it, get the show that we produce every week on the site. You can also get the Android or iTunes smartphone app. And I think that's what I prefer. I prefer you take it with you. Take us with you on your phone. I think that's the best option. Now, you can, of course, get all of our shows, even from before we were on WGN Plus, at jonesandmike.com. 312-981-7200. Before the break, Jones, Roger took you to task for being what you call a passionate non-voter.
Yes, he did.
And that you are not, I'm the judge here. I'm going to give the award to Roger in that debate. I think
you're just giving it to him because you want to shut me down.
No. There will be times, trust me, that I do not act so deferential to Badish. But I mean, he played the "I worked at City Hall" card. And once you play that card, once you're like, "I knew Harold Washington, sir, and you are no Harold Washington." Once he played that card, there's no coming back. You've only seen the animatronic Harold Washington at DuSable Museum. He actually was in the same room with the man, and he knows that. He did not sleep at his desk the way the animatronic Harold Washington does.
Now, let me add insult to injury.
Mm-hmm.
All right, ready? I totally respect your right
mm-hmm.
to have the beliefs that you have. That's what makes America great.
And you will fight for his right to
right.
be a passionate non-voter. You'll
sure.
fight for his right. Okay.
Yes.
Now,
he will die.
Yeah, Badish is working
on
some
people. He will die for Brian Jones' right to yes. not vote.
If that's your choice, that's why we have a democracy.
So I like you, Badish, because you're even keeled and you're a gentleman, actually. As a of all the people in the room, Mr. Wake Knight, he's a gentleman. You are a gentleman, par excellence.
Wow.
Yeah, and so you are not. I've seen you on social media. You are you're a bowler, and you're a pretty even keeled character.
I think so. I think so.
I have been known to have my own rants from time to time.
A little bit.
A little bit.
Just a little bit.
Just a little bit. But I've noticed something, and they're really more like, I kind of fall on your side, Jones. Like, I can't believe 8 months before an election, people are really this fired up about presidential debates. There's been 11 so far. Texter in the 312 says there were 22 Republican debates in 2012. 22. We have 11
that.
More
That's
to
crazy.
Go.
It's exhausting.
I can't believe that number.
Guess when the first Republican debate was in 2015.
I'm going to say like September.
August 6th.
Oh,
good
my God. What, were there 47 people on the dais?
Yeah, like, why?
Well, it's a reality show. Every week someone's voted off.
Oh, I like that. Very cool. That is actually what has happened. And then they got to the point where, or they started off with two debates.
Yeah.
You know, if you were polling, you know, less than 5%, you got on the baby debate. And then the big stage were mm-hmm. the people that were polling at, you know, 10% and more.
Kind of like a sports team. You know, you've got the minors
mm-hmm.
and there's the majors. Or in football, you've got the injury squad or something like that. And
yeah.
And you can get off of that.
That's right.
Yeah.
The arena, you're in. Little Marco's hurt.
Hit the bench.
Yeah.
Marco.
Get to makeup. Stay in makeup a little longer than he does. We need you on the dais. Now, see, now that was very Trump-like. I made fun of her looks. That was very
churlish.
But that's really what these debates have kind of devolved into, is talking about hands and fighting and whatnot. And I think it's because there's too many of them. I think we need less of them. And really, the people that are fired up, I'm working on a theory here, Jones.
You've been, yes.
The people that are the most fired up on social media, at family parties, around the dinner table, about politics. This is not a hard and fast rule, but I've kind of noticed that they're not always the brightest. They're not the brightest.
I do see where you're I get where you're going with that. I kind of, you
and
know,
I love them. I love them sometimes.
No, I know.
But you can love. Look, people
you
love me,
love
and I'm not that bright. So yeah. if I get love, I can give love.
That's true. No, there is this sense that I get too. Like this, you know, those that love John Oliver, are they really doing it because it makes to their peers, it seems like the sharp thing to do.
Yeah. If this were an equation, I'm testing this one out here, is the amount of political memes that you share on social media and the amount of political information about candidates and their policies and stances and so forth, I believe it's inversely proportionate to your intelligence level.
And here's, okay, and here is where I will go with that.
And having said that, Baddish doesn't spout this stuff because he's a smart gentleman.
He is. He's a very
smart
gentleman.
You mean on social media?
That's right. That's right. Well, and even talking about politics here, you're just kind of, you're taking the high road.
Well, it's not my, this is why I'll never be a radio host. I'll just do news. But I don't think it's my position necessarily, unless I want to engage the audience in a debate over the pluses and minuses of different candidates and who might be best for the country. It's not my place to throw my opinion out just to incite responses back. I think that, personally, I think that people's minds have to be made up through research, through logical discussion and exploration of the facts, and make your best judgment. Because, again, I think history has shown that you, as the Rolling Stones say, you can't always get what you want. You don't always know what you're going to get. Does that make?
Yeah, it absolutely does. Sing it next time, then I'll know. Sorry, oh, he's doing Mick Jagger now. I understand now. This idea that the people that are the most fired up about a presidential election 8 months before we actually have to be. Do you see that maybe politics can be the opiate of the not so bright sometimes?
Well, I don't know if it. I don't want to.
And here's
say
why:
it's the not so bright.
I will.
Because regurgitate what Hannity's saying. It is easy to listen to Limbaugh and regurgitate it, or Rachel Maddow, or Chris Matthews, or whoever your commentator of choice is. And you can kind of get their talking points down.
Sure.
And then to your friends, family, social media, you can kind of regurgitate it and feel smart.
And I understand.
I will also say, particularly with on the national level, as I was saying earlier, to me, the president doesn't really affect things the way that people do. But if you dive into discussing politics on a national level, I think that's also a way to discuss something without consequence, because I don't think that they're actively affecting things week to week, month to month. I don't think the country changes solely with who's ever picked to be the president of the United States.
But you're not just voting for president.
But without that stake in the game, I think it's easier to dive into discussions of national politics, because there's less of a chance, in my opinion, of it coming back and being the case of, wait a minute, you said, you know, the equivalent of Derrick Rose's knee will never fold up again. There's less of a consequence when you're debating national politics of your words coming back to haunt you. There's always this shell game that you can keep playing that you're never really going to get pegged into a box. You're never really going to have to don't want to say stand for anything, but you're never really going to get, no one's putting baby in the corner when it comes to national politics, because it's this, it's designed to be this malleable, movable object.
Bad as he just pulled ahead of you with a Dirty Dancing reference.
Yeah, he did. I like that. I stood up and took notice at that point.
Ladies, recognize.
But I will say that your contention, I agree with your contention, if you're dealing just with politics. But once people get elected, it's about government and about helping to govern the country to the best benefit of the public.
Jones, what you're saying resonates with me, because the people that are pushing out these, you know, memes on social media with a candidate's face, and they're just like Hitler or whatever, whatever ridiculous pablum, politically charged, antagonistic content they're pushing out. I don't think that's swaying too many people to their side. I always wonder, like, well, what do you want to get out of this? Are you really believing that someone is going to go, you know, Mike put out a lot of really good memes and he's winning me over. I'm voting for Trump. I don't believe that that's winning people over. I feel like it just antagonizes people. It makes them angry, right? Makes people angry. So yeah, to your point, it's if it changes something or it doesn't change something, it's probably not going to change anyone's minds.
I just think Babish has too much faith in these Luciferians. That's my opinion.
your concept of the game possibly being rigged, Jones.
Yes,
I believe
it's
rigged. That. I want to talk more about that. Dave Player has the night off. It's Jones and Mike. This is 720 WGN. 720 WGN. Dave Player has the night off. It's Jones and Mike. 312-981-7200. You can call. You can text. Jones, you are you're taking a brave stance that you are a passionate non-voter in presidential elections because you feel that the game is rigged, as you are kind of putting it, right? Am I overstating it or understating it?
No. You're hitting the mark.
You believe that whether it's George W. or Obama or, you know, Hillary or whoever, that not that much is going to change for you personally in order to go on a Tuesday and cast your vote and hang your proverbial Chad.
Right. Yes.
Okay. And again, that's something next to like people in America not wanting to tell other people who they're voting for. I don't know that I've ever met anybody like you that says what you're saying. Like, I don't even bother.
I think, well,
I think you got to show up and vote for the judges, right? Vote for the judges, maybe vote for people in government closer to your situation.
No, see, that's where I can look at that and go, okay, if you vote for your village president, I think that has a larger effect on your day to day. The national election, there's just, I take a step back from that because in my own mind, I can at least say I'm not participating in this game, in this illusion.
And you're not afraid to come off as a nihilistic rube is choosing to stay out of the political fray.
It's never stopped me in the past on other topics. So.
And be judged. You're being judged.
I am.
People are afraid of being judged. And then I'm saying, well, look, you know what, whether you're voting, not voting or whatever, let's talk about it in, could we talk about it in October when it's a little bit closer? I got a little British there. I want to see people go a little bit closer to election day. It's 8 months out. We really, outside of your primaries, I don't think we have to have the Trump / Cruz / little Marco versus Hill / Burn conversation here yet. The people that I see that are so fervently anti-Trump or so fervently anti-Hillary, I've noticed you usually don't have a whole lot else to offer intellectually in that same social media space or in the same same familial circles. So politics, they really glom onto because it makes them feel engaged and feel like they're, feel like they're smart. Right?
Yes.
And so this a concept of the game being rigged, as it were. Do you feel like the president has already been chosen? Because there are a lot of people out there that go like, dude, there's a corporate cabal that have already picked their person.
You know, that's interesting. I mean, my larger point is that I think I look at the Democrats and the Republicans as a cartel. But in terms of who's getting selected on an individual level, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know that they've already have their person picked.
But they have the field narrowed down. They've got their henpecked people in place.
Yeah, no, they do have their henpecked people in place.
You're not alone. There is a larger...
I have to say, I do kind of go with that. They know.
In Roger Badish's fuzzy math earlier, I believe you called it 1.5 out of 10, which we then divined to be 15%.
He was high then.
I don't know if it's 15%, but there's a huge amount, there's a larger than you would probably imagine amount of people out there who believe that in this concept of secret societies, and that you have to be in a secret society to be president. Badish?
What are you talking about, conspiracy theorists?
Well, and that's anything that is kind of outside of the norm gets put in that box, that marginalized box, because it's easy then to go, oh, well, that's just a conspiracy theory. But somebody who, maybe he was just talking loose and fast, but we have a clip of somebody who might know a thing or two about politics, whether you like the side of the ledger he's on or not, is almost immaterial. He's definitely a Beltway insider, talking the other night on TV about the Mitt Romney's attack on Trump was Newt Gingrich, and listen to what he had to say.
And now they're faced with a very real prospect of Donald Trump becoming the leader of the party, and it absolutely drives them crazy. They just cannot imagine sharing. Well, because he's an outsider. He's not them. He's not part of the club. He's uncontrollable. He hasn't been through the initiation rites. He didn't belong to the secret society. And I think that they don't.
He hasn't been through the initiation rites, and he hasn't been in the secret society. Now,
What could that mean?
Why would he say that? And Badish. Can you speak?
I know what he's talking about.
What's he talking about?
He's talking about politics.
Politics is a secret society.
Everybody in the public is going to vote for these people. There's no secret.
No, it's not a secret that these people are running for something. People will vote for whomever they wish to vote for. I think what Gingrich was talking about was people who are lifelong politicians. Now, in order to become involved in government, you must become a politician because you must run for something. So by his running for president, Donald Trump by default becomes part of the inner circle.
Yeah, he didn't say Trump is an outsider. He didn't say Bernie, even though he's an elected politician, is an outsider. He used actual terms, initiation rites and secret society.
There's no initiation rites.
Okay, well, and so do you know that Newt Gingrich...
There is, if you want to go in the back rooms, the smoke-filled rooms,
okay,
where you start getting... the power brokers that you've been talking about, who are going to back you because politics ain't cheap.
Newt is in this article that this clip was embedded in online. It says Gingrich is in a perfect position to know about secret societies, given his affiliation with Bohemian Grove, an annual encampment that takes place every year in Monte Rio, California, and is attended by some of the most powerful people in the world. That's not super secret. We know it exists, or people know it exists.
Right.
But like, they don't allow cameras in there. Really, nobody knows what it's all about. People have talked extensively about this thing, Skull and Bones. And apparently there's been multiple presidents who have been part of Skull and Bones, including George W. Bush.
Mm-hmm.
And his father. And, a lot of people who have been in the higher upper echelons of government have been part of Skull and Bones. But not many people talk about it. Apparently they do. It's kind of cultish, this initiation rite that they go through. We have a clip of this from 2001, Peter Jennings and a reporter talking, this piece comes from that report about Skull and Bones and their initiation rites.
From their perch, Rosenbaum and his cohorts taped the tomb's courtyard. What they captured, they say, was initiates known as neophytes being forced to kiss a skull.
Oh, my God.
And members performing a mock killing.
Yeah, like that's just normal, like frat boy hijinks to get into the toga, into your secret courtyard at Yale and pretend to kill some effigy, right?
And it, the funny thing is, even within that organization, there's other people like David McCullough, guys who write history, kind of form your concept of the way this country was founded. And I love David McCullough. I do read all his books, even with the Skull and Bones thing. He's a great writer. But it is funny when you see that these people have come up through all of these groups and how often all of these political figures are affiliated with these secret societies that we are now even learning about that are no one would talk about. The Bilderberg Group didn't exist years ago, at least
that was
in terms
a conspiracy
of public
theory
discourse.
Years ago.
Now it's out everywhere.
Yeah.
But we still don't know what's going on. That's kind of where I'm coming from. When I'm talking about, I'm saying the 1% of the 1%, you know, the people who play God without permission. I think I'm kind of quoting Mr. Robot, the USA Network show from its series opener, but whatever.
Yeah.
That's my point.
I haven't checked that out. You recommend it?
I would recommend it. It is actually very good. But that's where I'm seeing the leadership is at its highest level. And that's why I think our votes don't matter.
So that's, you know,
tinfoil hat this, brigade.
Yeah.
Call me that.
It's a conspiracy theory. Maybe in 5 to 10 years. We'll be lucky enough to be sitting here talking with Badish, and we will razz you. We will razz you. We'll be like, remember the night you called us conspiracy theorists? And then we played clips about Skull and Bones for you? And it was so credible because it wasn't necessarily a kook website. It was, you know, from a report that had been preceded by the late, great Peter Jennings. And man, seeing him from 2001, that guy was good. He gave credibility. Huge hands, Jennings. Really credible source. Well, Jones, your idea that politics is rigged, we're going to have to shelve it for another night.
Yeah, we'll never. No one will ever really get to my side.
I mean,
I'm going to be a lonely man on the boat. I know it.
Yeah, I want the fighting, politically speaking, to wait until the fall. We have actual fighting to talk about next. We're in for Dave Plyer. It's Jones and Mike. 720 WGN.